Father, again, as we just transition from worship to your word, Lord God, we ask that you would anoint, that you would allow your spirit to fall fresh on us. Lord God, that it would accomplish all that you want us to accomplish through your word, and that he would be able to move mightily in our hearts and our lives to be able to strengthen us and lead us and guide us, that we would get honor by doing what you have us to do, that you would get honor by what we accomplish in your strength and your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, I was sitting there in worship, and I had one of those moments again where I wanted to get up and start running. The only problem, I felt like doing a Chuck Berry. The only problem is I can't do a Chuck Berry. So in your mind, you're going, I feel like it, but I can't. So isn't worship good? Isn't God good? Still believe God wants to do something? Amen. We began a series last week called Love Worth Finding, and we looked at God's love for us and God's love that we can share with others. We agreed that this world is messed up, and that we need God's guiding, that we need God to bring peace, we need God to bring order to chaos. We realized that you know, we can do a lot of things, but we can't do godly things without God. Amen. We can't love others like God if we don't ourselves understand and sense it. We are not who we were created to be when we leave God out. And I thought it was funny. We had a politician here yesterday and sharing some of her thoughts, and to me as she began to go and began to share some things. At my first impulse is it sounds like a beauty pageant where the lady stands up and says, I want world peace, and I want to feed the hungry. You know, those are great terms, but unless you really grab onto it and you want to make an impact in people's lives, and you do purposely go out to feed the hungry and all of those things. So when I say that this morning, as we continue to look at God's love and what God wants to do in our lives, unless you want and you're willing to grab onto it and not just go through the motions or just say the right catchphrases, you're going to miss what God's wanting to accomplish. The church needs to be a place of discipleship. A church needs to be a place that God can change our hearts and change our circumstances. And while he's doing all of that, the church needs to be a place that God can use us as he sees fit. And the text this morning cannot be read without realizing and acting upon God's love for us and not wanting to give back that love to those that we come around. It's again, I said it last week, that it's that this canopy, everything filters down. God has to be first, and everything we do, everything that we receive as a blessing, everything falls under loving God and wanting to work with that. So if you turn with me to Romans chapter 8, it's a little bit longer of a text than usual, but I think it's fitting for where we're going this morning. Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemns him in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on the fleshly desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. If you love God, your life and your actions need to show it by the things that you do and by the things that you say. If you love God, you're willing to allow God to change you. You want him to come into your life. You want him to transform you. We would give him permission to make those changes so that we could be more like Christ. At the time we accept Christ, the transformation begins. For some, it's instant. You see an instant change. And for others, you see that it seems to be a process. Sometimes we go through several different processes, several different times before the Lord gets a hold of us, and not necessarily that there's something wrong with us. It just takes us time to get where the Lord wants us to be. For some it seems easy, and for some it seems very difficult. For some it seems to be a journey that we go through. It's harder to release ourselves to God and allow him to do these things. For some the hurts are major and the hurts are hard to get by. That's why I say it all the time. You never know the journey that someone's on. You never know what God's doing in someone's life. You never know except to get alongside of them and help them. For some, we don't want to release, and some, it's just been hard to release. Paul records in the first verse of our text, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Now, for those that are in Christ, our past doesn't have to be our problem. For us, it doesn't have to be a problem. Our past has been bought by Jesus Christ. Amen? Are you out there? It's only going to get worse, so you might as well say amen. Our past has been bought by Christ. So when we're in Christ, he begins to do these things, and he wants to work in our lives. We're able to not be ashamed of our past because he's bought the past and redeemed us from the past and wants us to be more like Christ. The Spirit of God has freed us from these things and has set us on a path to live a righteous and a victorious life. Now, how many have seen the movie Tombstone? Okay, I'm going to try to give this example, even though some have not seen it. It's one of those movies I've seen a million times. I love the movie. It's one of those that some would consider a classic. But if you've ever seen the movie Tombstone, it really is about a group of law enforcement officers, a family of law enforcement officers that decide they're going to retire from law enforcement, go into the West and make tons of money finding gold. And as they begin to journey there, they end up in Tombstone, Arizona. And as they're in there trying to make their living, they begin to be successful. They begin to see, and all through the movie, they're trying to get them to be the law enforcement officers that they are. And Wyatt Earp is there. And at Tombstone, Arizona is where the battle at the OK Corral takes place. And in the midst of all of this, and if you haven't seen the movie, you need to see it. But in the midst of all of this, while they're trying to make their living and trying to do their own thing and trying to retire, so to speak, from law enforcement, something happens. They begin to see the people in the town in a different way. Because at first they were going to retire and they were just going to be make money and they were going to just spend family time. And then a funny thing happens. They begin to see in the town that sin starts to take over, and they begin to see this group called the Cowboys come in and just start destroying people and taking their freedom and doing all these different things, and it changes. And in one scene, the one younger brother is in the arms of Wyatt Earp, and he says, "Don't let him get you, brother. Don't let him get you, brother." And I want you to see something here. The Spirit of God wants to rescue us from ourselves. Say amen to that. The Spirit of God wants to rescue us from ourselves sometimes, because in ourselves we can't get out of that circumstance. And the Spirit of God wants to minister to us. And the Spirit of God, listen, believer, the Spirit of God dwells within you. You don't have to say, well, I would wish the Holy Spirit would work. If you're a believer, the Holy Spirit dwells within you, wants to have the power to work through you, the power to give you the ability to do the things that you're supposed to do. Verse 12 here says, we have an obligation. Listen to it. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not in the flesh to live according it. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. The Spirit of God is saying, I know that you want to do your own thing all the time. But if you're really going to live the life that is pleasing to God, God says that you need to put some of these things down. You need to work some of these things out, because God loves us. Our love should go back to people. Because God loves us, we should desire to please God more than pleasing ourselves. I read a book a while ago, and I recommend this book too. It's called Eating with Sinners by Aaron Chambers. If you looked at the book, it's celebrating, when we celebrate a wedding, he says this. It says, it reveals your love of love. Celebrating a touchdown is celebrating your love of sports. And then he says, if you're really going to be a believer, you need to celebrate the things that Jesus celebrated. And what did Jesus celebrate? He celebrated when sinners come home. He celebrated when sinners were shown the truth. And he's saying, what he means by lost sinners here is not there's wrong with them. He actually brings a point out in the book that sinners are just people that have lost their way. Sinners are just those that need to be redirected to what God intends them to have and to be. And they don't even know they're lost. And beginning, believers are there to help them get to where they're supposed to be. Are we people that sinners want to hang around? Are we people that sinners want to hang around? Do we pretend to be something that we're not? Do we pretend to elevate ourselves higher? My thought on this, when we celebrate people's weddings, realize they need Jesus. When we celebrate touchdowns of life and sports, realize the people that we're celebrating with need Jesus. See, there's a lot of murmuring going on in the Christian circle right now, the things we don't like, those we wish we could change. And in a perfect world, we could just erase it, right? In a perfect world, we could erase things. And in a perfect world, if God made robots, all of these things wouldn't happen. But if we don't live in a perfect world, God didn't create us just to be robots. So, you know, the Holy Spirit has to direct us and guide us and empower us and show us how to love people. Because listen to me, people are just looking for hope, amen? People are just trying to journey, the same as we are. And there is no more us and them. And one of the things that I told that politician yesterday is, I'm tired of people hating each other. And I'm tired of people just because we don't agree. Why do we have to hate each other? Why can't we just disagree? And in looking at this, he's saying that people are just looking for hope. We should be journeying with them. We should be loving them. We should try, when our paths cross, to give an opportunity to show them Jesus. Not only yelling the Bible to them, but loving them. Because God's love transforms us. Amen? The only reason we're different is because God's love transformed us. God's love is working on us. Doesn't mean we're better than them. It means God's working in us. He meets us where we're at and takes us where we need to go. Amen? He meets you where you're at and takes you where you need to go. So when we meet someone, we should be leading them and guiding them to Jesus through our lives. We hope that the hope and glory that's in us, that they would see Jesus. We would hope that people would see in us that His love changed us. The longer you're a believer, really the longer that the Lord is working on, the more you should look like Jesus. Changing, not because we have to, because we want to. Amen? Otherwise, we get that child that you say sorry, and they go, sorry. Or you put them in time out, and they're doing everything but thinking about what they've done wrong. We can't have that attitude. See, addictions change us, amen? Whether it would be chemical, physical, emotional, addictions will change us. And sometimes as believers, and sometimes we go through life and we want to put this mask on and pretend that some of the things we're going through we're not really going through, because if we told everybody what we were going through, they wouldn't think that we were the greatest Christian. God says, take the mask off. Take the Band-Aid off. And allow me to work on that. See, addictions of the world changes us. And the Holy Spirit of God wants to change us. And my question is, which one will you let change you? Which one will you allow to work in your life? We were created to love God. But because of the sin nature and because of all the things that we go through, that gets lost in the shuffle. And someone has to lead us back to God. There's some truths here that I want to share, and I'll go as quick as I can. Oh, that's right. You guys are here all day. So. but you got other things to do. Here's some quick things, some truths that I believe if you're really going to allow the Holy Spirit to be active in your life that you need to think about. You might want to write a couple of these down. First thing is, do not mirror this world, but allow God to transform you. See, that's God's love in action. He says, I'm going to meet you right where you're at, and I'm going to take you where you need to go. You weren't perfect then, and let me tell you, when you get done on this side of glory, you're not going to be perfect, but you should be more like Christ. There should be things changing in your life. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not allow ungodly thinking, because ungodly thinking causes you to do what? Ungodly things. That there needs to be a change of attitude there. Zig Ziglar, if you ever read his books, he's great. He calls it stinking thinking. He calls it garbage in, garbage out. That to me is perfect example of what God's trying to do in our lives. He's trying to stop us from stinking thinking. It's trying to keep us from being distracted from the worldly things that would cause us to walk away from God or be slowly pulled away from God. And then he's telling us, garbage in, garbage out. Put the good things in. The word for the Greek, transformation, is metamorphosis. The same word that's used for a caterpillar. And the gradual place, the gradual change that takes place in a caterpillar inside produces the total change on the outside. Amen? And you see it in people's lives. And there's some that you're drawn to because you see the love of God in them. You see some that, man, some Christians, you swear they just ate a pickle or a lemon. They just, as soon as you talk to them for a while, you go, yeah, amen. Hey, thanks. Yeah, I'll think about that. Come on now. You know people like that. I hope it's not any of you. I know it's not. Can't be any of you. Second thing is protect your mind. He says renewing of your mind. Protect your mind. 1 Peter 1:13 says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you with Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. Be careful what you're thinking. Be careful what you're seeing. Be careful what you put in your mind and what you allow to influence you. What it means here is that you got to be sharp. And you're thinking, protect your mind, be alert to what's going on, be ready. I've shared this one other time. He's in his 90s now, and he worked for Greyhound Bus, and then he was traveling. He was out of town one time and got in a situation, not of his own, but he said, run, Harold, run. In his mind, that's what the Spirit told him, because he got into a circumstance and a situation that he had no idea, but it would have went bad. And he's in his mind, the Spirit said, run, Harold, run. And sometimes that's the attitude that we have to have. There's some things that go out of our control, and we get in these circumstances and situations, and the Spirit of God is saying, run. Don't be thinking about it. Don't hang around with it. Don't play with it. Get away from it. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. What he's saying, we got to pull these down. There are strongholds in our lives. We got to pull these things down. We got to seek and destroy those things that take us away from God. We have to take captive, and we have to make our thoughts obedient to Christ. How do we do that? The best way to do it is destroy it in its infancy. Say amen. Destroy it right away. Bad thoughts come to your mind. I take authority of that in Jesus' name. Start thinking of the goodness of God. Number three, be spiritually minded is peace, and carnal minded is death. Romans 8, verses 6 to 8. Let me just refresh that. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Be led by the Spirit. The word cardinal means to be worldly minded. Means that the world is more important to you than doing the things of God. Your emotions are controlled by the world rather than the things of God. Are we a robot? No. Do we think for ourselves? Yes. But we can have God lead us and guide us and give us direction and take that direction when God gives it. The time, run, Harold, Harold. I really meant I wanted him to run really fast. Run, Harold, run. Spiritually minded means that you're allowing God to transform you, allowing God that it's his desire for your life more than what you want. No one talks about it anymore, but I believe this is a fault of the church universal. We only get one life to make a decision for Christ. Between the dashes, I say. From life to death. That's your window of opportunity. And a lot of times we get these pictures painted like we have forever. And then you hear about somebody 19, 18 years old losing their life for some reason, an accident or whatever. We only get one shot at this. We only get one shot at building a relationship with God. And here's the thing. If we don't want God in our lives now, God gives you the desires of your heart. You will not have to spend eternity with him. But nobody wants to talk about that. He's telling us to protect ourselves, protect our minds, that we're thinking godly, that we're thinking the right thoughts. Last one is to set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. As a believer, you have to be balanced. Say amen to that. I you have to be balanced. You have to live in this world. You can't run around like some guy that just was dropped from an alien planet. But you don't have to allow the world to influence you in a negative way. And you don't have to allow these things to go by. And I will say this. If all you think is heaven, then you're no earthly good. Sorry. You ever? They would be the ones maybe chasing Halley's Comet. I don't know. But if you're only thinking of heaven and you're missing opportunity here on earth to do and make an impact, well, then you're no earthly good. And the same is true if everything about you is about right now, my money, my career, my family, my this, my that, and no God, you're missing out. Set your mind on things above. We cannot have the mind of Christ without knowing Christ. We cannot have the Spirit of God and not be a believer. Without a relationship with God, the Spirit of God does not dwell in you, and you don't have the power and you don't have the ability to ask God to strengthen you. So the first thing is a relationship with God. The first thing is asking God into your life. As a believer, we bring back the glory to God by the way we act. People are watching. Now more than ever, people are watching. Do you know that? They're watching not only what you say. You can say whatever you want, but they're watching what you're doing. They're watching where you're going. The last thought here is enjoy your spiritual heritage. I love the, we didn't read that verse, but if I would have read the whole thing, starting at verse 14, he said, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought you adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with your spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory." Listen to me. If you're a believer, share in your inheritance. You are a child of God. The Spirit of God dwells within you, and the power of God's Spirit wants to work with you. You were born of the Spirit. You were sealed by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. You're baptized in his Spirit. You've been given gifts by the Spirit, and you've been commissioned by the Spirit of God. Amen? Did you catch the key phrase? The Spirit of God working in us. You are loved by God. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, joint heirs with God and co-heirs with Christ. Love and life is in Christ. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you this morning. I pray that your word would minister to each one of us. Father, if you're struggling to see things in our lives, Lord God, would we be more open? If we're struggling, Lord God, sometimes we just need to surrender these things to you, allowing you to do something amazing. I pray that this morning for everyone within the sound of my voice. I realize every single one of us has areas of our lives that we could turn over to you. Every single one of us has a closet door that contains things that we're not really wanting to share with everyone else. But Lord God, to be led by your Spirit, to have the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, Lord God, we open those doors and ask you to minister to us in those areas. And we're going to give you honor. We're going to give you praise. We thank you that we're joint heirs with Christ. We thank you that we don't have to do things in our own strength. asking that you would do something extraordinary in our lives. Do something amazing. Do something, Lord God, far above what we could do in our own strength. Help us, Father, in the area that we've just seemed to fall short and we failed in several times. Lord God, give us the strength to get victory. And we're going to thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.